Today on the AV Podcast, we break down the aftermath of Game 5 of the Raptors-Sixers series. I invite Windsor Express player from the NBL League and two-time full-court 21 Toronto champion, Anthony Otley Jr., as we break down the blowout, discuss Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and the lessons they've been learning this series, the city embracing the overall brilliance of Kawhi, plus a lot more. Sasha Ralph is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Specifically, you could tune in and listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as Google Play. And to catch up on the rest of my catalog of podcast shows, make sure you listen and subscribe to SouthShoreAV.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAV.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. Let's do it.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My next guest is Mr. Toronto for Full Court 21, 2 years of running, professional basketball player. Please welcome Anthony Otley Jr. to the show. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I guess you're happy that the Raptors won?
Of course. It's, you know, for me, I watch the basketball for the basketball. I don't really have a favoritism for the teams, but it's always good when it's your home city. I could get the win, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. So the Raptors today won, basically, you know, 1 million to not enough today, beating the 76ers. Well, I mean, so just to get into it real quick, what are your biggest takeaways from Game 5?
For Game 5, it was just a big improvement from players like Siakam, and from having 9 points, having 25, 8-3 tonight. And I think from the jump, Kyle Lowry was more aggressive, mm-hmm. and they played it as a team, and the shots that they got, the good shots that they got, they took advantage of those opportunities.
It's funny. To me, this was like probably one of the Raptors' most complete games in this series offensively, where you would say everybody was in rhythm. Everybody pretty much played aggressively from the jump within the offense, and the defense just remained the same. It's been on a high level pretty much, I would say, you know, maybe all of like three quarters of this series. Toronto's defense has been pretty much incredible for the most part. Like, looking at the stats today, they held the 76ers to 42% shooting. They caused about 19 turnovers in the game. Like, this has been their calling card pretty much for the whole series. But I would say that this time they really kind of put the screws in. The hands were always in the passing lanes, tipping dribbles, you know, yep. getting their hands in the passing lanes, getting steals. They were just all over it today. They were really on it today, and I think that kind of set everything in motion offensively.
Yeah.
You know, and I figured, and it's funny because in the last pod I was saying, like, I figured they would win by at least 10 points or more. You know, I didn't think it was going to be, you know, at one point it was a 40-point lead. I wasn't expecting that.
I agree. I expected a more hard-fought game from the Sixers, but it just seemed like Embiid had nothing in the tank from, like, beginning to end. Like, he was non-existent. No. And Simmons got into early foul trouble right off the back with 8 minutes, around the 8 minute, 30 second mark in the first. Yeah, from the jump, Raptors had control of the game, and it was relaxing to watch, actually, you know. But at the same time, I watched the game for the basketball, and I expected Philly to give a lot more fight than that coming back and tying the series.
Now, looking at Embiid, like, Embiid's pretty much between health, between Gasol, between injuries, like, he's been really struggling this series. Like, in your eyes, like, are you using this respiratory infection as an excuse? Because, you know, my philosophy is kind of like, you know, when you're out there, you're out there, and especially when it's a playoffs. I know it's tough, though. Like, I know he's going through a lot, but, this time of the season where nobody cares. Unless you're playing on a broken leg, like, nobody cares.
Yep, that's true. It does affect you, but like you said, when you're out there playing in the business of it, he has to get out there and win, because at the end of the day, the result is the result, right? It is affecting his play, but if you get out on the floor, then if you're not ready to go, then don't get on the floor. That's just how it should be. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it'd be a terrible look though at this stage if he, you know, if he misses the game. Like, he's in a position where he's got to just go through it because he can't miss. He can't miss any games. Like, imagine if he sat out today's game. Like, that would have been insane. Like, honestly, unless he was bedridden with the flu, getting like IVs put all through his veins, like, I can't see how he would have been able to even miss today's game. Like, it's not even something to think about. Like, he has to be out there, you know?
No, as a main focal point of the team and a superstar caliber player, yeah, in a game like this, he's got to be there and he's expected to show up. So,
yeah. And I mean, today, looking at the stat line, I mean, he got, what, 13 points and 6 boards. He only took 10 shots. Let's face it, like, Toronto had a lot to do with that, with the way they brought their energy into the game. So that had a deciding effect on everything that was happening. But at the same time, I mean, you got to shoot more than 10 shots. I remember something Jimmy Butler said in the last post game, after the game 4 post game, was, he was like, listen, if you're going to be 2 for 7, I'd rather you be 2 for 20.
You know, that's for real, though, because he hurt his team by not being aggressive tonight, and it affected his energy right off the jump. And MB needs to realize that he's the guy that sets the tone for the Sixers. He's always going to be that X factor, the star role. So if he's not playing well, the Sixers don't play well. And other roles are just, the stars were cold tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking at Embiid. He had 8 turnovers, too. Like, some of the decisions he was making today, some of the passes he was making today, you're like, yo, what is going on? That's not even, it's almost like he didn't care. Like, that's the way he came off in some cases, where, like, some of the passes he was throwing, you're like, what is going on? Like, I think he had a terrible night. I don't think the stats told the whole story. I just don't, you know, outside of a couple of threes that he hit, I mean, it really wasn't a good look tonight. It's basketball, like I said, it's the playoffs, so it's kind of at the stage where it's like, look, man, like, you got to push through it. He went 5 for 10. Like, you'd rather him go 5 for 25 tonight. If he takes 25 shots and misses 20 of them, you know what? You live with it. You know, you live with it. You like, at this stage of the game, I think it's really hard to go out there and not just, you know, kind of go through the motions.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Another thing that I liked is that, like I said, how Ben Simmons got into foul trouble in the first quarter. They were really attacking. Becca was putting a lot of pressure on to Embiid tonight, also attacking him constantly. And, yeah, Becca, I think he really stepped up big tonight for the Raptors also, on not only the offensive end, but even the defensive end. He was everywhere. And I just think as a team, they defended well and they ran a lot tonight in transition. And mm-hmm. I think that was big in the third quarter for them making that run. Yeah. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I remember them pulling away. They got it to like up to almost 30 points. And they subbed out in the fourth quarter really early. It was good because these games also give them rest. They get it, you know, they do the early work and they get the job done. They can rest their stars. And Philly goes back to the drawing board. I feel like this game and games like this also builds a lot of confidence for the players, for the core guys, for the bench to get on and get some run, things like that. It's just really good energy, you know?
Yeah, and something I was thinking about throughout the game too. How important is this summer going to be for Ben Simmons? It's funny. I thought he'd be getting killed more than this during this series. And but I think he's flying in under the radar in terms of his limited impact. As talented as he is, like, he's at the stage where it's like he really has to, you know, they say you got to take 1,000 jumpers a day. I think he's got to take like 2,000 a day just to fix whatever the hell's going on, because it's limiting his game right now. The fact that he's active defensively still and everything else, like, he got a block on Kawhi earlier in the fourth quarter or in the second half anyway. And so, you know, he's bringing the energy out there, but his whole game has changed now to the fact that, you know, you're not running, he's not running fast breaks and, you know, he's not coming downhill every single time. They're forcing him to play half court basketball and, like, he's limited. Because even, and I like, and I love his talent, but, like, he's still raw in a lot of areas because, like, to me, I don't always compare him to, like, Jason Kidd, for example, but, like, Jason Kidd was a guy that, yeah, he couldn't shoot to save his life, especially for the first half of his career. But when he got to the basket, he made things happen. You know what I mean? Whether it was a great pass or he had that scoring touch in the key. And I don't think Simmons has that consistently. It looks rough. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, he can't hit the jumper, but it's like, okay, but he, like, even going to the basket, like, he's not creative enough to get his shots off in the paint.
I think, that he needs to add other skill sets to his game now and a jump shot, because I think it's beyond the point now where they need it to develop. I think it's now at the point where it's hurting the team. It's not just hurting him statistically, but I think in who he is as a player, his identity, I think it's affecting the Sixers because they need Ben Simmons, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, he's talented, he has high IQ. It's just they're going to keep sagging off him and loading up every time he catches the ball because he can't shoot it.
Because that's the one thing. Like, even in the post, you can't say, well, you know what? Let's just throw it down to him in the post and see if he can, you know, make passes out of there or make plays or, you know, or have a move and a counter. Like, you can't even really go to that because even consistently, like, his back to the basket, he can't really, you know, he's not creative enough out, like, in that area either. If he's not coming downhill and making passes and making plays in transition, he's limited. You know what I mean? And like regular season, all that's fine. You know what I mean? Because you're only seeing a team, you know, you might see a team, you know, like today, and you may not see them again for another 2-3 months. There's another game tomorrow. There's another game the day after that. So it's like you don't get enough time to focus on a team. You know what I mean? But in the playoffs, you know how it works. Like it's you're going to spend up to 2 weeks, if not a little bit longer, focusing on one team. So they have ample time to zero in on your weaknesses.
Yep, everything gets magnified when you get to playoffs, and now everyone's really focusing it on the scout. Like you said, in the regular season, like this NBA now, a lot of people like to rest, and too much things goes on throughout the regular season, which doesn't really count. And this is where it counts now. Everyone's looking at analytics; they're looking at every little detail, and we're not letting you get to the basket. We're a defensive team, and I think that's what Kawhi Leonard brings to the Raptors, is that defensive presence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what difference between him and DeMar DeRozan. In this series here, Ben Simmons is not going to go downhill all series and not be defended. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And like I said, his jump shot is in it. His ability to not shoot the ball is now beginning to kill the Sixers and their success moving forward as a team.
Well, to touch on your point, like, I feel like the team now is kind of, I always use the quote saying that, like, the team reflects the habits of the best player or the leader. I think in this case, this season, and you're seeing it now, especially in this playoffs, defensively is where they're really following Kawhi's lead. You know what I mean? Because they're active everywhere. It's not even just like they're active for like they're giving multiple efforts on defense during that 24-second shot clock on every angle. So there's not a play that they're giving up on defensively. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's very rare that defensively they break down. They're going through periods where it's like they're getting fourth and fifth efforts during that shot clock, and when you're coming consistently like that all the time, like it can almost be defeating in some cases for. In tonight's case, it could get deflating, especially when you're hitting shots on the other end.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, it's funny at this stage. Going back to Ben Simmons for a second, like I kind of feel like between this summer and I feel like he's gonna be while he's training, he's gonna be watching the ticker, because I think he's probably one of these players that are praying to the gods that Kawhi leaves his division. I think he's praying that he goes anywhere but the Atlantic Division, because, like, having to see him, you know, four times a year, plus now this series, is changing the perception of how he plays. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not comfortable at all around Kawhi. And now that, you know, Kawhi's habits defensively now was starting to infiltrate the rest of the team. So they're looking at him almost in the same point of view that Kawhi's looking at him. And it's affecting him. Like you said before, like it's really changing the way that I think it's really changing the way that people are starting to see him now. He's got to change. Like he has to change. Mm-hmm. Like he's really got to improve.
It's a wake up call. He's going up against the best two-way player in the NBA. He's going to attack you offensively, and he's going to get back and move his feet. And I think, yeah, this is a wake-up call for him to really add a jump shot to his game.
Yeah. I think it's a wake-up call for him and for Embiid, to be honest with you. And I think this series has kind of, like, opened our eyes to, like, man, there's another level that we got to get to. You know, and you're starting to see it now, you know. And it's funny because, to me, going into Game 4, like, I thought Game 4 was going to be the most important. I thought it was the most important game of the series because, obviously, if the Raptors lost, you know, going down 3-1, I felt like that would have kind of picked at their confidence. And yeah. I think going forward, like, they really needed that game just because I think if, you know, it kind of reestablishes himself as, you know, as the better team. You get back home court advantage. You know what I mean? I think your role players, especially kind of like the pressure comes off them just a little bit.
Yep.
And everything kind of gels from there. Like I said, again, I was expecting like a 10-point win. I wasn't expecting this, but I felt like if they won that game, it would just change everything in the series. And I thought whoever won that game is going to win the series. So the fact that the Raptors, you know, ended up pulling that game out and was a great game. I thought going forward, I think like now I can see the Raptors like finishing in six, and I'll get to your prediction in a moment. But like I looking back now, it's like, yeah, just top to bottom, they clean house. Top to bottom, they clean house. This is the most well-rounded offensive performance, you know, the team's had so far this series for sure.
Yep, I would agree. Everyone's touching the ball. Everyone's rotating. Everyone's running. It's just everything was going perfectly all night. Once Raptors took their first run, they ran away with it the whole game.
Could we talk about Kawhi's dunks for a moment?
Oh.
Which one was better than you? I know the highlighted one is going to be Embiid, so maybe that might be the better one. But I thought that one to end off the first half was crazy, too.
Yeah, the one in the first half, both dunks, I seen Michael Jordan. I seen MJ. How he pounded the ball and how he gathered and took off on them and dunked the ball the same way MJ would dunk basketball. It was crazy. It was, and
yeah, I thought the one in Embiid was really impressive. Just the in and out and the bunny hop, or should I say the stutter step and the bunny hop. You know, to like, I think I really surprised Embiid. I don't think he was expecting that. By the time I think he realized what was going on, like, it was too late.
He's actually legitimately putting guys in the rim. And Embiid is not a little guy. Embiid,
no.
He's, what, 7'2", something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a Kawhi at 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", is climbing over in the rim with ease. No emotions. It's crazy.
I kind of get the sense though with the city, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of get the sense that I don't know. I think people are their eyes are finally opening up. Like most basketball fans already knew who Kawhi was, but I feel like the rest of the city is finally realizing, like, oh my God, we got a superstar here. Like, don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot of people that, you know, were missing DeMar and that trade. And, you know, even though this season was successful, you know, you still had fans out there that were like, man, you know, like, you know, I know Kawhi's a better player, but man, I really miss DeMar. And it's like now you're for the first time, you're finally feeling people like you're finally feeling the city really starting to embrace Kawhi.
Yeah,
like mind you, they know, like, obviously we know he's a free agent at the end of the playoffs and everything else. But I think they're finally realizing, like, holy shit, I didn't realize this guy was this good.
I think what it is that guys like to think about it as, oh, you got to be loyal. I could say as a guy from Toronto and watching the Raptors, this is one of their first, I would say, transactions that they've made, like in a trade, where I could actually agree with it and be like, yes, you guys made a good, great move, great trade. You know what I mean? Usually when guys get rid of their stars, they fold or they rebuild or whatever. This is like a big turnaround compared to last season. Mm-hmm. Like the energy, the team is just way different. And like I said, it starts with Kawhi Leonard because he brings a leadership with his actions. He's not maybe the most vocal guy out there all the time, but He's going to play hard every night. He's going to defend, and he can score. And he just got way better. Like, he came a long way from when he came in the NBA. His development is amazing. He gets praised by Kobe, and I see why. He's showing us right now. He didn't come in. He didn't boast. He didn't say anything. He just made actions happen, right? So,
I respect. And you know, it's funny, like, you want to lead by example. Like, you know, he's almost a mute publicly, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't say anything, but, you know, when you're leading by example and that example is excellence, your team is still going to rally behind you. You know what I mean? Like, the team is still going to, like, you're going to rally behind a guy like that when the way he's leading by example is just hard work and excellence. You know, the bar is so high, like, even though he doesn't have to say a word.
Facts. I don't even know if this guy has Instagram.
I don't think he does.
He's living a private life as an NBA superstar. He's just different in every aspect.
Yeah, but you know what though? I'll say it again, man. I think the Raptors organization, especially I think the locker room, the players, I think they actually need his personality. I think they need that. You know what I mean? Because that sense of calm and that sense of hard work and that sense of quiet confidence is like you actually need that. I mean, look at the last like five playoff runs. You know what I mean? Like every time there was a moment or where it's like, man, your back was against the wall. It was almost like the moment was almost became it almost kind of like swallowed them up. You know what I mean? Like the moment's always swallowing them up in those cases. And it's like this year, it's like. Even though, like, in a situation, yeah, they're down 2-1. Kawhi, like, the whole game four, for example, like, he was just so calm, you know? And game five, like, same thing. Like, his shots weren't falling early on, but, like, he just stuck with it. You know what I mean? And he still played hard on the other end of the floor. He was still giving excellence on the other end of the floor. And you follow suit with that, you know? It's just funny watching, like, you're slowly watching the city kind of realize, like, oh, my God, like, this guy might be... Wow, this guy's amazing. Like in the last podcast, I think he's already solidified himself as the best Raptor of all time, like in terms of single season, just because of the way he plays on both ends. Like I don't think it's been matched.
I would say, yeah, this would be the best single season play as a Raptor ever. But at the same time, I want to see there's been guys that, you know, served a lot more time, but it's just like you said, in the short amount of time, he did so much, like, as an individual for the team. And he set the tone, like, on both ends of the floor. But that would be a big argument. I don't think everybody would agree with it. But I definitely think it's a conversation for sure now with this year and in the playoffs and what we've seen already.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? You know, do you want to give Lowry some props tonight?
Yeah, Larry, he brought the energy right off the bat. He was attacking. He was aggressive. When he had the open looks, he shot it with confidence. And he was all over the place. He was being Larry, the bulldog. So,
And you know what? When he's giving you, like, well, tonight he had 19 and 6, but when he's giving you that kind of number as essentially a third guy, at this stage of his career, or at least at this juncture of his career, when he's giving you those kind of numbers, your Raptors are pretty much going to win every night. You know what I mean? Like, because you know what you're going to get from Kawhi. You know what you're going to get from Siakam, especially when he's healthy. You know, especially with his energy. But when Kyle is playing like how he can play, you know, I don't want to say they're unbeatable, but like they're really tough to beat. They're really tough to beat. You know what I mean?
He brings the toughness. That I believe Kyle Lowry is his best when he's dishing. He's being aggressive, but he's looking for the best shot rather than his own shot. Mm-hmm. I think that's when he's at his best. And that's what he did tonight. And playing both ends of the floor and just being dog, you know, being hard-nosed. So I think that with that style of play mixed with Kawhi Leonard's focus and defensive intensity on the ball, and being in the passing lanes, I think that gives energy to everybody else. And of course, Siakam is also a guy. He runs the floor very well, and he gets back in transition, right? Mm. So, and overall, I think this is one of the best teams constructed, for sure. And Kawhi Leonard definitely can be talked about as the best Raptor.
So, you know, before you wrap up, what do you expect for going into Game 6? Do you think the series is over, or do you think we're coming back to Toronto on Sunday for Game 7?
I think Raptors will be confident they will take the momentum, but I think 76ers will give a bit more of a fight, only because they're facing elimination. So Raptors definitely can finish off the series for sure, but I'm just going to have to see. I don't know. It's going to be a good game, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good game, I'm going to say. Raptors from like 5 to 10 points, I would say, by ending a game.
So you think the Raptors got it? You think they're going to wrap it up?
I think they can. I think they're going to come focused. But what I feel is that the only thing is 76ers is going to play desperate. They're going to dive for balls. I know Simmons is going to attack them relentlessly no matter what. Mm-hmm. Embiid is probably going to be way more physical. I think they're just going to go back to the drawing board, and I think that's what they're going to see in the film. They're going to see what we've seen, and they just want to aggress. And
I think the series is going to be over on Thursday night. I think it's going to be a war, though. I think that's going to be an absolute – you're going to get Philly's best shot in the first – I would say in the first 18 minutes of the game. And I think if the Raptors can withstand that, I think they're going to win the game. So I see them winning by about – I see being – kind of like you, I see being within 5 points. But I see the Raptors pulling it out. But I think that's the biggest thing. I think Philly's going to be coming with it. And that first quarter and a half is going to be really pivotal to me. And it's like if the Raptors can withstand that storm, then I think they're going to win the game. I think they got it going forward.
So pretty much, who sets the tone from the start, kind of like this game in a way.
Yeah, like they're gonna, like, I think Philly's gonna, energy wise, they're gonna come with it. Like, I think you're gonna get their best shot. But I think, if you know, as long as the Raptors can withstand that beginning stage, that storm, you know that team is desperate. They're just swinging wildly. You know, it's almost like a boxer that's down on points in the 12th round. They're coming with everything. So you know, if you can just withstand the first minute and a half of that 3 minute round, then you know you pretty much solidified the victory. I think that's what's gonna happen here.
Yep, yep. It's a fight. That's all it is. It's a fight that you know that they're gonna come out swinging. You have to be smart and just play within the flow of the game, and like what Philly's gonna be home to. So I know the fans are gonna be rowdy and all of that.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be crazy. The atmosphere at Wells Fargo Arena is gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy. So just to wrap up, you've won the last two titles as Mr. Full Court 21 of the Greater Toronto Area. You trying to go for a three-peat?
We'll see. Right now, I have some things going on. I might end up leaving to Japan in the around June or July, but I'm not sure exactly the dates yet. But right now, I just have some things processing, and also just in the gym working on a few projects, things like that. So, and taking it easy, just taking care of my body right now for the next opportunity. Yeah, I'm always in the gym. Yep, always.
That's not all. That's what I'm saying. Like you took a break to basically do this podcast. I appreciate that though, but.
Oh no! I was watching the Raptors game before the podcast. But before, I was watching the Raptors game. Yeah, I was in the gym. I'm here, so yeah, I'm always, even if I'm not in the gym, I'm always watching basketball and trying to learn, because that's the biggest thing is IQ of the game. And everyone's athletic and everybody can score now, but I think what sets you apart is how you think the game, right?
Yeah. So, well, continue success, brother. And listen, man, thank you, cuz, for coming on the app today, man, and doing the show. I definitely appreciate that.
Well, no problem. Thank you. I was going to say thank you for giving me the chance to speak on the game. And, you know, I love talking basketball. So this is my first podcast, you know. I'm not going to lie, at first I was like, damn, how's the conversation going to go? I'm just like, I don't, it's basketball. That's what we enjoy doing. I'm sure you play still. You know, you go to runs, things like that. Yeah, so
the basketball is basketball's got that therapeutic spirit, man. It just, you know, once you start talking about it, everything just, it goes away. It just goes away.
Yep.
But I definitely appreciate you coming on, man. We got to do this again.
Well, for sure. Anytime, just hit me up or let's stay in contact. And talking ball is always fun. So
That's right. Thank you for tuning into the Av Podcast today. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your continued support as always. Special shout out goes out to Anthony Otley Jr. for joining me on the episode to discuss Game 5 of the Raptors-Sixers series. We'll be back Friday for the Game 6 breakdown. And hopefully for the city of Toronto, we'll be talking about the series wrapping up and not about a potential Game 7. Rate and review this episode today as well as all the episodes from South Shore Ave. You can listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, as well as Google Podcasts. And to check out my remaining catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Anthony Otley Jr., this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. All right, until the next podcast, folks. Peace. Yowt.